I always love preaching right before VBS because I have such a backdrop. I heard who worked very hard to give us such a wonderful presentation. I want to just say thank you. I also know that there were some artists all week working on the other side of the church, painting, and it's just a blessing. It's a blessing, and our hope is that, just as one prayer already went to the Lord, that the Lord would use VBS to save young hearts, to save young hearts. Well, it is a blessing to be in fellowship and to take our attention to the Word of God today. Let us go to Him in prayer, ask for His blessing, that He would give us a heart that would receive His Word this morning. Father in heaven, I do thank You for giving us time and fellowship, a time where we get to come and meet with You, a time where we get to come and hear from You through Your Word. And Father, I ask that Your Spirit would be filling us even as we read Your Word. I ask that You would help our hearts to rejoice in the songs that we've sang, but also to carry that joy into hearing Your Word. Help us to submit ourselves to the authority of Your Word, to be blessed by it, to be encouraged by it, to be challenged by it and changed by it. Father, I ask that You would be with all of us. I know that some of us have had very difficult weeks, or a difficult week, but perhaps longer than that. I'm thankful, Father, that You are able to sustain each and every one of us. And so I do ask for Your blessing, Your mercy on us, that You would be with us and strengthen us, Lord, in the areas of our spirit that You know that we need to be strengthened, and that Your Word would speak to us and would help us in the areas that we need help. Lord, as we set our attention this morning on Your Word and discuss false hope, help us, Lord, to evaluate our own heart and our own hope to make absolutely certain that it's genuine hope founded on genuine salvation that comes through Your Son, Jesus Christ, and who we just finished singing of. And so be with us this morning, Lord. Let the worship that we offer to You be pleasing to You and edifying to us. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning we are going to finish this three-part message on sobering words as we've been looking at this statement in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 through 3. And there Paul writes, "Now as to the times and the epochs, brethren, you have no need of anything to be written to you, for you yourselves know full well that the day of the Lord will come just like a thief in the night. And while they are saying peace and safety, then destruction will come upon them suddenly like labor pains upon a woman with child, and they will not escape." We started a few weeks ago just looking at that point that Paul makes in verse 1, a point that I wanted to draw out, especially for us, just a pastoral note for us on how preaching to people about the coming day of the Lord is actually a loving thing. It's a loving thing to tell somebody that they are in danger. And then Paul mentions to these young saints that they have no need for anybody to write to them because they know full well, and that is because Paul taught them while they were there. There are two things that Paul mentions in the same way, and that is they have a love for the brethren and nobody needs to instruct them about that, but they also do not need anybody to talk to them about this day of the Lord. But Paul hasn't visited us and made sure everything was known to us, so I spent some time there to hopefully give us a theology of the day of the Lord. I wanted us to have an understanding of the day of the Lord. And so last week we went to the prophet Joel. And this week, the sobering words are of the fruit of false hope. That is the title of this morning's sermon, the fruit of false hope. And as you can see there in verse 3, Paul says, while they are saying peace and safety, then destruction will come. Jude 12, Jude is a one chapter book, verse 12, calls false teachers and false prophets clouds without water, and autumn trees without fruit. False teachers and false prophets promise empty promises. They try to sell empty promises that only bring a false hope. They try to sell goods that they cannot produce. And worse, they say, thus says the Lord, when the Lord has not said it. And perhaps even more worse, if that's even a measurement, than that is, sometimes God's children listen to them and follow them. What is the fruit of false hope? The fruit of false hope is more than just a sad disappointment. You see, the fruit of false hope makes people believe that they are eternally safe when they in fact are not. The fruit of false hope makes people feel like they are eternally secure when they are not. False hope is deadly. Eternally deadly. There are people right now, tons of people, that believe they are truly saved when they are not. And they have placed their faith and confidence in a Jesus that is not the Jesus in the Word of God. If you were to buy a home, would you just take the seller's word for it and purchase that home without inspecting the home? Of course not. Of course not. But the time that you would spend in that home is but a drop of water in an endless sea of eternity. So if we would inspect that home, we ought to inspect our own heart to see whether or not we are actually of the faith. Inspecting our heart is a good thing. One dreadful fact concerning the day of the Lord is that it will be a time where there will be an abundant amount of false prophets and false teachers selling false hope in a time when salvation is needed more than ever, because the day of the Lord is the time of the last days. Now, there are days, in a sense, that come after the last days. But in those days, there is no need for preaching the gospel, because those days will be occupied by those people that have already placed their faith in the Son of God, Jesus Christ, and are eternally secure. Well, this is what Paul is warning us of in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 3. There he says, while they are saying peace and safety. While they are saying peace and safety. There will be those that are saying that there is peace and there is safety, and try to sell that peace and sell that safety right in the heart of the day of the Lord. Now, if you go and read Matthew 24 and 25, it does not sound like anything close to peace and safety. And yet, that is when these false teachers will be saying that. These false teachers and false prophets, that is. And what Paul is doing with this phrase here is he is jogging the memory of those that know their Old Testament to a time when peace was preached, when there was no peace, and that was on the cusp of the Babylonian captivity. And so I would like to just briefly, in my way of being brief, talk to us a little bit about world history, to help us to know a little bit about what was happening in Judah, which is the southern kingdom of Israel, right before the Babylonian captivity. In this time, Assyria as an empire had dominated the surrounding nations for centuries. And in 721 BC, they took the northern kingdom of Israel captive. But things began to change when Babylon came into power. You see, in 612 BC, Babylon took captive the capital of Assyria, which was Nineveh. And as Babylon is threatening the Assyrians, Egypt decided to capitalize on Assyria's weak state. Now, they did not go to war with Assyria, but what their plan was to go and fortify and help join with Assyria, to let Assyria work almost as a buffer, so that as Babylon worked its way south, it would not run right at Egypt. So they decided to, Egypt that is, strengthen the Assyrians, but all the while their hopes were to take Assyria as well. And not just the northern kingdom of Israel, but also take Judah. Now in Judah, the last godly king in the book of Kings is King Josiah, and he is the one that's reigning at the time of this. And he's a godly king. But he sees the threat at an Egyptian and Assyrian force. And so what he does is he goes to battle with Egypt. And we can find this in 2 Chronicles 35. And as Josiah goes to battle, he dies in that battle. And what would result is that Egypt would move in and they would set up a vassal king for Egypt, Josiah's son. We find that in 2 Kings 23. And as Egypt sets up a vassal king there, something happens in 605 BC, and that is that Babylon defeats Egypt. And as Babylon defeats Egypt, they, just like Egypt did, installed a new vassal king there in Judah. So Nebuchadnezzar, at that time, orders a wave of people to be deported. And what you have is the first of three waves of Judah being carried off to Babylon. And in the first wave, the prophet Daniel goes and is placed with the officials there in Babylon. And then Babylon continued to pursue Egypt and lost the battle. And at the time, Jehoiakim, the vassal king, thought it would be wise, since Egypt lost that particular battle, or won that particular battle, he thought maybe Egypt was coming into power. So why would he be Babylon's vassal king? So he decided to join back with Egypt, and that was the worst thing that he could have done. Because when Babylon found out, they came back, invaded a second time, destroyed Israel again, and carried off a second wave of exiles. It was in that wave that the prophet Ezekiel was taken. The prophet Ezekiel was taken. What you have is a new king rise, but he's still a vassal king. And yet, Jehoiachin also aligns with Egypt. So Babylon comes a third time. And in a third wave, take 10,000, at least 10,000 Israelites from Judah in a third wave. One wave, two wave, three waves. And Judah is left in a terrible state. Almost everybody was taken to Babylon, but some were able to flee and they went to Egypt. And that's eventually where Jeremiah would be. Now, why give this history? Because during this time in Judah's history, we see that God was with them the whole time. In the first wave, Daniel went. A prophet of God that was able to help those that were taken in that first wave. In the second wave, Ezekiel was taken, and he was given strict orders to preach to those exiles there in Babylon. And so Ezekiel preached in Babylon to the exiles. And the whole time, Jeremiah, who came into ministry at the time of Josiah, was able to see all three waves happen and survive through them all and preach and proclaim God's word to God's children throughout the whole three waves of captivity or deportation. But not only was God with His people, and not only were God's prophets with God's people, so were false prophets. And what is interesting and sad is to look at Jeremiah and Ezekiel and the time when the prophets were writing during these different waves and during these different captivities, and the prophets were still preaching, or false prophets were still preaching peace. You would think, why? Why are people believing peace when obviously there is absolutely no peace? And that's because people that do not have their hope and their trust in the Lord will grab onto anything that seems to solve their problem. And so they get thrown around in whatever people are selling them. Turn with me, if you will, to Jeremiah chapter 6. Jeremiah chapter 6. And in Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 14, the Lord is speaking through the prophet Jeremiah. And so Jeremiah writes this in chapter 6, verse 14, speaking of the false prophets who speak to his people. Jeremiah 6, 14, they have healed the brokenness of my people superficially, saying, peace, peace, but there is no peace. Two chapters over in Jeremiah 8:11, the same thing is said, just slightly different. Jeremiah 8:11, they have healed the brokenness of the daughter of my people superficially, saying, peace, peace, but there is no peace. There's no peace. No peace. And turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 14. Verses 13 through 14, maybe even a little bit longer. Jeremiah 14, verse 13, And there Jeremiah writes, "Oh," or "Ah, Lord God, I said, look, the prophets are telling them, you will not see the sword, nor will you have famine, but I will give you lasting peace in this place. Then the Lord said to me, the prophets are prophesying falsehood in my name. I have neither sent them, nor commanded them, nor spoken to them. They are prophesying to you a false vision, divination, futility, and the deception of their own minds. Therefore, thus says the Lord, concerning the prophets who are prophesying in my name, although it was not I who sent them, yet they keep saying, there will be no sword or famine in this land. By sword and famine, those prophets shall meet their end. The people also to whom they are prophesying." Do you get that? First, he spoke to the prophets that were saying it. Then he says, the people also to whom they are prophesying will be thrown out into the streets of Jerusalem because of the famine and the sword. And there will be no one to bury them, either them nor their wives, nor their sons, nor their daughters. For I will pour out their own wickedness on them. You will say this word to them, let my eyes flow down with tears night and day, and let them not cease. For the virgin daughter of my people has been crushed with a mighty blow, with a sorely infected wound. If I go out to the country, behold those slain with the sword. Or if I enter the city, behold disease of famine. For both prophet and priest have gone roving about in the land that they do not know. One more verse from Jeremiah 23:16. Jeremiah 23:16. Thus says the Lord of hosts, do not listen to the words of the prophets who are prophesying to you. They are leading you into futility. They speak a vision of their own imagination, not from the mouth of the Lord. They keep saying to those who despise me, the Lord has said, you have peace, you will have peace. And as for everyone who walks in the stubbornness of his own heart, they say, calamity will not come upon you. But who has stood in the counsel of the Lord, that he should see and hear his word? Who has given heed to his word and listened? Behold, the storm of the Lord has gone forth in wrath, even a whirling tempest. It will swirl down on the head of the wicked. The anger of the Lord will not turn back until he has performed and carried out the purpose of his heart. In the last days you will clearly understand it. I did not send these prophets, but they ran. I did not speak to them, but they prophesied. These are words of Jeremiah through the different waves. So the prophets were active all through from the beginning and throughout the waves that were happening there as their own friends, families, countrymen were being taken. And so the false prophets were saying, peace, peace, but there was absolutely no peace. And turn with me to Ezekiel 13, and we're going to go to Babylon and see what was being said in Babylon, because Jeremiah's crowd was seeing it firsthand. Excuse me, Ezekiel 13, Ezekiel's crowd is hearing it while in Babylon. Ezekiel 13, verse 9. Ezekiel 13, verse 9. There Ezekiel writes, so my hand will be against the prophets who see false visions and utterly lying divinations. They will have no place in the council of my people, nor will they be written down in the register of the house of Israel, nor will they enter the land of Israel. that you may know that I am the Lord God. They are prophesying there in Babylon false things. And when Israel is brought back down into the promised land, those prophets will not come and they will not be remembered. Verse 10, it is definitively, well, I don't know how much more clear you can get. It is definitively.